The agenda is basically to find any, firstly identify any issues that have been missed in this issues report. So does anyone have any issues they think should be in the issues report that are not already there?
Yeah, this is Werner. Actually, I listened in yesterday and I hadn't read the document yet, and I did so. And actually, I felt that indeed we're looking at differences between CCTLDs and GTLDs, but we do not seem to be differentiating different cases within GTLDs, although they could be actually very, very different. So it shouldn't be put actually formal question as to how or if we should differentiate cases in the context of GTLDs. For instance, you know, should there be a difference in the treatment of narrowly focused GTLDs and, you know, general purpose GTLDs?
Okay. Narrowly focused GTLDs versus what generic GTLDs, I suppose. So do you want to give an example, some examples of what you mean there, Bernard?
For instance, you could imagine that the treatment of .museum would be quite different from .com, and that .museum has a very narrow focus, whereas .com is, so to speak, the all-purpose TLD, just anything could be .com. And the meaning of com in terms of or the translatability of .com also in terms of the concept, is quite a different subject than that of .com museum.
Right. Is it the translatability of the string that's concerning you, or the way the registrants are treated? Because they're probably two different variables that you're controlling here.
Well, I didn't think at first of the translatability of the string, but let's say the fact that some TLDs have a narrow focus, then you understand it's precisely associated with the given thing.
Yes.
Then you have, this gives you a lead, so to speak, as to what you would want to do, if at all, you would want to localize it in different languages. Whereas if it is a very general purpose string, then of course the things that would have to be done are not so obvious. You know, there could be a number of choices. So that's why I wonder if you shouldn't ask the question if there should be a differentiation on that basis.
Oh, now join.
Sorry, who has just joined?
Carrie's here.
Oh, hi, Carrie. Carrie has just been suggesting that in the issues report, one thing that's not captured is the concept that the handling of particular GTLDs may be different. And he gave the specific example of museum versus com, and saying that you might handle different, when you're looking at differentiating strings or strings that are similar, you might handle them differently in the case of .museum versus the case, which is a focus TLD with sort of registrant criteria, versus something like .com or .biz where there isn't any strict registrant criteria in any way. Is that essentially what you were suggesting, Ben?
It's not just the criteria. It's basically that the string linguistically has a narrow focus. If you say museum, it makes them very, very clear. It's not even the policy of the TLD, that linguistically the string has the entire purpose of the TLD, of course, but it's built into the string and has a narrow focus. Whereas in other TLDs, this is not the case. On the contrary, they're actually selected to be pretty wide focus, pretty open. Anything could be there.
Yeah, I'm still probably struggling a little bit. Is this kind of coming back to, let's take .NET, for example. The original concept of .NET was it was intended for infrastructure providers, whereas now it's used more generically. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? Whereas .museum is intended for museum operators rather than anybody or any using it for anything.
Indeed, but that's basically it's the way it is being used, so to speak, just a method to strengthen the focus of the TLD. But there is already a focus in the very word it was used. And, you know, this may, in a given case, be, you know, generally followed, in another case, not generally followed. If you look at ComNet and DORG, it is not at all followed. I mean, it's
struggling with, because we're separating the concept of what the string might mean. Like, .NET means something quite specific to me, but it's been used for just about anything.
Actually, there are two variables. The one is the string a dictionary word, and is that word likely to appear in just about any dictionary? And the other thing is, does that word designate a clearly bounded community, or is it simply a catchy string being made available to anybody who thinks it's a useful TLD label?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
So NET evokes things in our minds. It may evoke something entirely different in the minds, say, of the fisherman community. There's nothing binding to it. Anybody who finds a name in .NET attractive is welcome to register one.
Yes.
But a museum and travel and other things, which are clear dictionary words with equivalents in probably every dictionary on the planet, they also are restricted for the use of a community which is designated by that word.
Yeah, so I think that's trying to capture in the issues report then is the concept of what the strings might mean in a GTLD sense and whether they should be treated differently.
Well, the question is, does the string have a clear dictionary meaning, A,
yes.
And B, does that have any policy implications for the domain that is so designated?
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so you would ask the question whether or not on that basis there should be differentiated treatment.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, any other issues anyone thinks should be in the issues report? Okay, so the next topic then, just to give you a bit of feedback from the discussion we had this morning, or 12 hours ago, was the idea that the IDN workshop in Marrakesh, along with the IETF is producing a separate or an update to their document on issues relating to IDN, that we would, enhance the this issues report with that material. So in the next couple of weeks, we can add some more material as it emerges from both the ICANN forum and the IETF forum. Okay, then the second topic is looking at prioritisation of policy issues or identifying the ones that we should focus on initially. Does anyone have any strong views on what issues they think should be tackled first or what issues they think are important first?
And this Werner, I listened in partly yesterday and wasn't able to follow all of it, but I remember that we had a discussion about CCTLDs, and it just basically came to my mind that what probably the first thing to be done is to be sure that we have a clear delimitation of the things that the CCTLD community is going to look in and which ones are we going to be looking in.
Yeah, that's right. I can talk about that a little bit later, but yep, that's definitely true. But just within the genus, though, what do you think the important issues are?
Perhaps this has already been covered, but it would seem to me, I think that something that needs to be covered off fairly early in the process is there a need, and perhaps this is a missing issue, I don't know, but is there a need for a separate process for IDN TLDs to GTLDs? Because it would seem to me that in terms of sort of biting off the issues in edible chunks, it would be better to identify the issues that are specific to IDNs first.
I think it's almost the opposite the way around, but we can come back to that.
Well, maybe it is the opposite, but either way, you know, if we can separate out the two, it would seem to me to make the job somewhat more easily, somewhat more straightforward, perhaps.
Yeah, let me give a specific example. In the For the new GTLD process, there's a draft recommendation that basically says a new TLD string should be clearly differentiated by purpose compared to the existing TLD strings. And we've specified that fairly generally at the when we've been talking about new GTLDs. One of the discussions that happened this morning was when you start looking at the use cases of IDNs, I may well be able to clearly identify the difference or clearly look at two strings based on the English language using the Latin script and be able to say, yep, those strings look pretty much to be the same purpose, or those strings look like they're clearly differentiated. But once you start adding multiple languages and multiple scripts, I certainly don't think I'd be able to judge that. If someone puts a string up in another language and says, here's a new string, it might happen to mean museum, but I wouldn't know because it's in another language.
Right, yeah.
Well, that being said, I mean, with respect to differentiation of purchase, we're probably in a slippery slope anyway.
I think the thing, though, that that came out of the discussion this morning is that the concept of introducing a new string is probably the same for both Latin character strings versus IDN character strings. Mm-hmm. It's just the complexities once you start adding languages and scripts into this discussion, it kind of makes some of the little, like if we make kind of fairly loose wording and don't be clearly clear on what we're wanting in terms of new GTLDs, and then we find, okay, maybe we've missed on a few things and we slip up a bit and there's some strings that slip through that we didn't expect. Once you start talking about IDN strings, that becomes much more unmanageable. And so I think we should be using IDNs to test some of our recommendations, if you like, within new GTLD work.
It's actually a source for entirely new kinds of conflicts as well, because a word that may be perceived as redundant and therefore interfering with some pre-established term can be entirely legitimate in the context in which it's being put forward. So what determines the two words overlapping? So there's just some layers and layers and layers of new kinds of things that have to be woven into the absolutely most fundamental policy layer of this.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it's in my sort of view that I expressed this morning is I think that it would be very useful because we've got a framework for studying new GTLDs and we're looking at firstly selection criteria and secondly how to deal with conflict if two people basically put something up for the same purpose, let's say, or same string. And I think when we start looking at some use cases, taking into account internationalized domain names, I think that will bring a lot more focus to some of those discussions in both selection criteria and allocation method. So what I'd be recommending is that our terms of reference map fairly closely to the new GTLD discussion, and we start in the new GTLD discussion thinking about some of these IDN examples.
I guess the reason I was suggesting what I was, Bruce, was that I would have thought it would be desirable to avoid too much overlap in discussion between, or repetition of discussion between the sort of what we're doing in terms of GTLDs versus what we're doing in IDNs. I mean, it seems to me that what we need to get to is the sort of the IDN-specific issues fairly quickly. I mean, there are quite a few sort of quite generic issues that are sort of generic between GTLDs in general and IDNs, like allocation, contractual conditions, selection criteria, but there are quite a few IDN-specific issues that are sort of basically seem to me more language specific, those sorts of things that I think it would be useful to sort of start on early.
Yeah, so one of the ways of looking at that is to say, well, we already have kind of a bit of a framework that's emerged from new GTLD. So we have both the terms of reference plus we have some initial draft recommendations. And one of the things the IETF has done fairly effectively over the last few years is that every new standard needs to have a section on it on the impact on security. So whenever you're creating a new standard, whether it's for email or registry, registrars, domain names, whatever it is, you need to have a section in there saying, how does this impact security? And part of the reason for that is so that people consciously think about security when they're creating a new standard on something. So one of the things that we can consciously do here is to think about, if we take, say, selection criteria, we might say, well, here's the generic selection criteria that have emerged from the new GTLD discussion. Are there some additional selection criteria we need to put in to take into account IDNs? Or have we got some of those initial selection criteria wrong? In other words, we need to improve them to take into account IDNs. So I'm agreeing with what you're saying, Alistair. I think we need to identify the IDN-specific issues. I'm just saying let's identify those in the same framework that we're using for new TLDs more generally.
So the extent, I think you're right, but it just does seem to me that sort of getting across some of those language issues, I'm not sure I guess the question in my mind is, are those language type issues that we were talking about earlier, for example, is that covered in the GTLD framework?
Well, that's what we've got to find out,
I'd like to add something to that. I think that I agree with you, Bruce, except for the fact that in the IETF experience with security, before the security groups had gotten really good at telling us what considerations we needed to worry about in specific, just the general idea of worry about security left most of us, when we were writing draft, sort of scratching our heads saying, well, I'm not really sure what I need to talk about here. And
yeah.
I think that we'll be in the same situation in the new GTLD discussions now, when we say worry about IDNs. It's, we should, but we don't really have the policy vocabulary yet for really doing that.
Yeah, so that's why we should look at it in parallel. And I think things like these IDN workshops, I think both the members of the new GTLD committee really need to attend those workshops so they can identify some of the IDN issues. And secondly, I think we need a separate group of people with more expertise focusing on that IDN component. So in other words, to use the equivalent IETF concept that you've talked about, Avery, rather than having someone who's writing a standard on, email or something that's not aware of security, we're actually saying that we're forming the security working group to work with those people.
And in fact, that is the same way that the IETF worked. It would bring in a security expert, hopefully, to help you think about it early enough in the process. So, I'm agreeing with the idea. I'm just saying it'll be a while before we can actually do it.
Well, I think we're...
I know we have to now.
That's right. Yep.
I guess what I'm saying is I think it'll be a while before we can do it competently.
Yeah, that I think that's fair, yeah. So we've got to start at some stage to get that confidence. So.
Yeah, I'm...
Okay, any other comments on that? the issue with CCs currently today is that CCs are basically constrained to the list of two-letter country codes that are in the ISO 3166 standard. And that's basically, by definition, what a CCTLD is. Now, naturally, members of the CCTLD community would like to have IDN strings related to their country code. And so what's been suggested is that a group actually look at developing a new list of two-letter codes that include the use of different scripts, essentially. So in other words, they'll support the equivalent of two characters and constrained in that way, so they're not, you know, they're not 50 character strings, etc. But
yep.
The concept is effectively to create a parallel list, and the parallel list for each country to start with would just select one additional IDN-related string that's related to that country. And then once those strings are selected, then the process for delegating one of those strings to an organisation would be the same process as being used today to delegate a you know, one of the ISO 3166 strings to a person or organisation.
That may ultimately prove to be an oversimplification. There are governments that are profoundly unhappy with the way their CCs are being operated and see the ability to set up what won't be a CCTLD, but will be a national TLD, as a way simply to regain control over their own namespace. There are probably other national governments that never liked the 3166 abbreviation anyway and see IDN as providing opportunity for clear relief. There are languages where notions of two-character abbreviation don't convey anything vaguely resembling the significance they do in our frame of reference. So I don't think it's likely to prove anywhere near as simple as this. We'll give everybody who has a two-letter ASCII country code the opportunity to designate a two-character equivalent code using some other script.
Yeah, I think you're right about it. It's probably an oversimplification. I'm just reporting what I've heard, Carrie. But I think the end game, though, I think is to... I'm just sort of looking at... I don't think that we, as the genus, though, need to directly get involved in, you know, whether it should be allocated to the same operator or whether it should be delegated to a different operator and those issues. I think that's something the CCNSO can work on with the GAC, probably.
Well, it's actually two entirely separate complexes of issues. The one is the semantics of the string structure.
The string, and the second is allocating it to somebody.
Yeah, basically. Uh-huh.
I completely agree, and neither of which I think the GNSO needs to actually focus on.
Other than in the parallel situation as it pertains to GTLDs, which is what we're there for.
Yeah, that's right. So that's what's been kind of getting talked about. It, you know, some of the board members have suggested that as a general approach, and I think you were right, Carrie, when you mentioned this morning, it's a fairly Anglophone approach because it's assuming that you're used to using two-letter codes and whatever the two-letter code has some meaning to you in your language or your script.
May I just make a comment on that? It's, you know, if you say that a two-letter code would be translated into another language, then actually we defeat the entire purpose of the ISO 3166 country codes. The purpose of it is to have a single script in the entire world to be used. And in that sense, ASCII is not to be regarded as, how should I say, English or Latin. It is to be regarded as the, so to speak, default international script. And the idea is very much that it would be as much as possible hidden away. That is, if you have a typical web form and you have a listing of countries that people select, you would typically not see the country code is actually being used in the list. It is hidden, and people associate it with labels that they may be more or less free to select. So this designation of the list is probably a good idea, but then the initiative as to what kind of strings should be used should probably be with the local community. And then we say this is a list where the input of what alternative labels are associated with the basic international two-character code. That initiative came from the country, and there may be more than one.
There's a little historic detail in all of this, and that is the suggestion that the two-character Latin country 3166 codes be mapped into other two-character codes came from the 3166 maintenance agency. A massive surprise. One would never have expected them to say that. But in fact, the reason we're talking about it was that they submitted the proposal for doing this in response to the questionnaire that Kato-san's IDN committee posted for public response.
Yeah, so So I think, you know, these are some of the options. I mean, one option that you're suggesting, I mean, some of the discussion this morning is saying, is that original, as you were saying, Bernard, ISO 3166 deliberately constrained things by saying you can have two characters and they have to be from the Latin character set. And obviously, if you remove that constraint, people would say, well, I actually want one character or I want 20 characters because that's what works for me. And I want to use this different script. So I think the intent is to change some of those variables, being the type of script you can use, but not necessarily change the length.
Yeah. Bruce, there's one thing that we also need to keep in mind, is that when dealing with non-ASCII labels, there is no such thing as a two-character entry into a zone. The minimum length of any IDN name in its Punicode representation is 7 characters.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about the ASCII representation in the zone file. I'm just talking about the actual script character. I don't know where the character's right word.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, the technical constraint actually does need to be on the length of the Punicode string. That there is a potential, there's possibility now for 63-character-long top-level labels being added into the root zone. And one of the things that the technical test needs to determine is if there is, in fact, any point at which this degrades. We've noted a difficulty with previously unrecognized three ASCII character TLD labels, and there's some suspicion that for 4, 5, 6, and 7, problems increase. And when we automatically start looking at things that will be larger than 7, because, again, there is no Punicode string that is some shorter than 7, we are courting all sorts of unforeseeable difficulties. And the last thing ICANN needs to do is make a service available which ultimately proves to be useless, especially this service, because it strikes so to the heart of national sovereignty and cultural identity.
So that means certainly that testing needs to be done before selecting the string, I guess. But I'm still just sort of talking about it conceptually rather than saying it's done.
Yep.
I just don't think the GNSO wants to kind of go there, if you like, by actually us coming up with a recommendation and saying, hey, you guys should be restricted to these two-character things. I think, as Werner says, I think we'd be happy that there's some kind of table that's developed that takes into account these issues that can act in addition to the ISO 3166 table. But I don't think we necessarily have to get, as the GNSO, too involved in the actual choice of strings, other than constraining it by purpose. In other words, if your country code is, say, the Cocos Islands or something, that the string that you create doesn't happen to be .museum in whatever language they speak.
Yeah, well, that's actually, again, another interesting issue. Somebody was busy talking about some of this Punicode business, that it appears as gibberish, and used the example XN-gibberish. And then discovered that that actually does decode. XN-gibberish is equivalent to a sequence of Arabic script characters.
Right.
So we're looking at situations where what are absolutely defensible Unicode strings just happen to be encoded in their ASCII form as a meaningful ASCII sequence that is somebody else's intellectual property.
And that is certainly possible, yeah. I think the intent was that XN-dash wouldn't be particularly significant, but that doesn't mean that...
That's an assumption, and we won't know until somebody sues ICANN, will we?
Yes, right.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, on the basis that a set of monkeys can type out Shakespeare, some of them will be meaningful.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, look, I think that the position that I think the GNSO should take on this is really just saying we support the idea of identifying a table. And the nature of that table, we'd leave to the sort of CCNSO and presumably working with the GAC. And then the only real impact, I think, as Carrie says, is just the concept that they're not choosing, the strings need to be related to country code, not related to generic domain name strings.
The other thing where we may have a desire to comment is on how many of those things they can pick. In other words, you know, the
right.
Whole issue of do you get it only in one script, do you get it in all scripts, and how many do you get? And
but
one that concerns me is do you get do you get your country code or a country code in all scripts or on all scripts related to your country? And that's where I think we may have something to say.
And it's also a dynamite issue in the GAC context. A national government of a country that has six equally recognized legal languages is forced to use an ASCII code, thus designating none of them. If we make it possible for the languages themselves, the official languages, to be designated, how do we tell a country that it has to pick between those, from among those, an arbitrary number, in a jurisdictional situation where the country, where the government is obligated to provide equal support in all regards to all of its languages?
Exactly.
So this is going to be dynamite in the GAC, and harking back to what we've said several times in other contexts, why be suicidal from the perspective of the little old GPLD corner of this? Fortunately, we are not the CCNSO, we are the GNSO in this particular regard. Makes life easier. In the one regard, it makes life more difficult in the other regard because we don't have natural language nexus to invoke as a principle for the internationalization of our domains.
Okay. I think this is going to be a very touchy topic, and I think one of the suggestions that had been made to me is the GNSO should somehow... Well, the joint work group of the GNSO and the CCNSO should somehow sort of come up with a resolution and say this is what we should do about CCTLDs. And I think it's probably pretty premature for us to jump into that argument right now, other than to kind of act as observers and just support that side of the process.
It depends on how much gluttons we are for punishment.
It does, doesn't it? That's right.
Just a little comment when you talk about the list. I mean, it just strikes me that we have some overlap of that with our country name reservation list, which sometimes is, to a degree needs servicing. We have a 5-year-old list that is being copied into the TLD contracts that is really in a bad shape.
And I think some of that should come up under that discussion under new GTLDs. One of the things we talked about, Werner, I think you were on the call actually last week, was in terms of talking to the GAC, is actually raising that point just with respect to the Latin script, let alone the IDN script elements of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, anything else anyone wants to raise on topics 1, 2, or 3? Okay, so with respect to the meetings that are happening in Marrakesh, so far the plan is to meet this group to meet on Sunday evening around 6 p.m. for those that are there, and just kind of review how we want to go forward in terms of communicating with the CCNSO and communicating with the GAC. On Sunday, my plan is to try and have breakfast with a few of the people from the CCNSO, probably Chris Disbain, Mohammed Al-Bashir, I think, and Hirohata. I think, Charles, you're not going to be there, is that right?
Yes, sorry, I will not be able to be in Marrakesh.
And really just sort of talk about this particular point about the concept of the CCTLD list, I think, would be the main thing. And then other than that, I'd probably be saying to the CCNSO other more generic issues relating to GTLDs would deal with within the GNSO using the similar framework that we've used for new GTLD work. The other meetings on Sunday, there's an IDN workshop on Sunday afternoon, I think, and that workshop will, amongst other things, there will be a basically a report that there's an IDN issues report out there and inviting people to review that. And also just giving a bit of an update on where the CCNSO and GNSO is with respect to its processes. Then on, I think, Tuesday afternoon, there's a more technical IDN workshop, which hopefully will identify some additional issues that we need to be thinking about.
It's probably worth mentioning that the what is going to be the final draft, I believe, of the IAB Next Steps report is online now. If you Google Next Steps 06, you'll probably find it straight away. Let me see. Yep, right at the top there. Next Steps OC in Google will take you to a repository with that text.
Can you just send us a link on the mailing list as well, Karen?
Yeah, sure. Let me find the most authoritative of the repositories in which it is. It will be on its way. Nobody needs to hold their breath while waiting for this.
Yep, okay. Well, thanks for that, Karen. Any other questions about the meetings in Marrakesh? Who's actually going to be attending? Are you going to be there, Alistair?
No, I'm not, unfortunately, Bruce.
Okay, Avery?
You lost it.
Bernard, will you be there?
Yes, I will be there, yes.
Okay, will you be there by Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, probably maybe a little bit late, but I think I'll be there at something like 6 o'clock or just.
Okay, you'll let it be about when we're meeting, I think. Yeah. Other than that, you'll be able to see us in the bar, no doubt.
I haven't seen the venue of our meeting. Is that one of the messages?
Probably on the Names Council list.
Okay.
The council list, I think. Let me just look, check that. I know Glenn sent a...
Yeah, I'll send you a schedule.
Let me see if that's got the... Okay. It's called GNSO Workroom Number 35. Whatever that works out being.
But in the conference hotel?
No.
No, there are no meeting rooms in the conference hotel. It's a separate thing.
I'm sure once you get there, if you find someone from ICANN and say, where's Gina, so work room number 35. But... Okay, well, if there's nothing else, then I'll close the call at this point and thank everyone for attending.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.